Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Good News Ministries of GNM.org. It's the Catholic place for faith builders. You'll find daily good news reflections on the Scriptures of Mass, written by Terry Modica, to help you in your everyday life and struggles. Visit GNM.org today. Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
Welcome to Simply Holy, where we uncomplicate holiness with Mary as our mentor. I'm Marge Steinhake-Fenelon, and today's show is all about the upside of suffering. Yep, you're right. You heard me correctly. I said the upside of suffering. No, I'm not crazy. I know exactly what I'm talking about, my friends. And you will see by the end of today's show that there is indeed an upside to suffering. I'll give you a little preview of the show. So today we're gonna start out. It's actually gonna be a very joyful show. So don't tune out because I'm talking about suffering, because you're going to end this with a smile on your face. I guarantee it. So first, the nature of suffering. I want to talk a little bit about the nature of suffering and then the reason for suffering. We always say, why me, Lord? Well, there's a reason. And then finally, the value of suffering for ourselves and others. So before we really get into the show, let me express my gratitude for your support and prayers. I get so many messages of support and prayer, and it really means a great deal to me. I thank you for that, because that's what keeps me going. That's what keeps me going when I'm struggling for ideas, when the budget is getting really, really tight and I wonder how I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing, and when I'm just kind of stuck. So thank you for your support and prayers, and thank you for spreading the word about the show, about Simply Holy. Thank you for that, and thank you for helping me to lead the world to Christ through Mary. That's my mission, to lead the world to Christ through Mary, and it should be your mission too. That's all of our mission as Christians. Let's pray. Let's pray and ask for graces and goodness for this time together. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be together today. Thank you so very much for this technology, this time together. Mother Mary, we thank you. Thank you for urging me to speak and my listeners to listen to your message spoken through me. Please, dear Heavenly Father, grant us open hearts and minds so that we may savor the message that Christ and our Mother have for us today. In Jesus' name, through Mary's intercession, we pray. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, you can't see me right now because this is a podcast. But I have a large mug of very strong coffee sitting right next to me here. And why? Because this is a crazy week for me. I am preparing to get on a plane at the end of the week and head to Ireland, where I've been invited to speak about my book, Our Lady, Undoer of Knots, A Living Novena. So there's a parish there in Headford, Ireland, who has it's an annual event, a parish novena. It's very, very much the same as our parish missions here in the United States. And the theme this year is Our Lady Undoer of Knots. And so because of my book, they've invited me to come and speak on three nights of this 9-day set of presentations. I'm excited. I'm super excited. But, oh my goodness, the evil guy has put every single kind of wrench he could come up with into the gears of trying to make all of this happen and be prepared and so forth. And so not only am I frazzled, but I don't mind prayers. Even if you hear this podcast and pray for me after the trip, because God has no sense of timing the way we do. And so your prayers will still count for me. But frazzled, and one of the things that's come to my mind is I should talk about one of the topics that I'll be talking about in Ireland, and that is suffering. And that's what got me to thinking, gee, you know, I should do a podcast about that, the upside of suffering. And so here I am talking about this topic, which is near and dear to my heart. I've certainly done plenty of suffering in my life, maybe not enough, depends on what the Lord wants from me, but everyone at one time or another suffers. And so I really want to look at that and give you a joyful spin on this thing that we so often, well, that really can get us down. Let's just put it that way. First of all, I'd like to look at the nature of suffering. The nature of suffering. It's an interesting thing that I ran across this, that suffering is something that all religions try to make sense of. That was interesting to me when I was doing my research for the presentation. Suffering is something that all religions try to make sense of. So in Hinduism, suffering is, they believe that suffering is a karmic debt owed from a prior incarnation. So suffering builds up good karma. You know, I think maybe you've heard that. You know, some of the people who still remember the old hippie days talked about karma, good karma. It balances what was our own personal fault. That's the belief in Hinduism. In Buddhism, the belief about suffering is that we suffer because we desire. And desire is extinguished by the suffering. So it puts right our aspirations and actions and speech and efforts. So the suffering puts things right, those desires. In Islam, it is believed that suffering is from Allah's positive will. Allah's positive will. Man was created into suffering and toil. That's the Islamic view of suffering. In rabbinical Judaism, suffering is a result of Jewish disobedience. I think we see that a little bit in the Old Testament to a point. In Protestantism, some, not all, but it is believed that suffering is the result of personal sin. So you sin, so now you're going to suffer. In our Christianity, we believe that suffering is never willed by God, but rather allowed for our benefit. So the ultimate source of suffering is the human will, which we know was abused by Adam, which caused a rift between God and man that only Christ can reconcile. So suffering can also have a proximal cause. So natural law stemming from our own actions or the actions of others. This could even go back generations, as a matter of fact. We also believe that it can be the work of demons. We know this for a fact. It's the work of demons at times. At other times, it's God pulling back his mantle of protection so that, one, we could suffer the consequences of our own actions, or so that we'll grow and learn to listen to our Heavenly Father. You know, it's like a human father for his child. All right, so the father, I was going to say makes, but I guess it's true, makes the child suffer through, so to speak, piano lessons. All right, why? So that that child can become one day a great pianist. Okay, so he suffers, he allows, he sets it up so that this child suffers through the piano lessons so that someday that child will become a great pianist. Now, we might not understand God's reasons for allowing our suffering, but we must trust that there is a reason for it. There is a reason for it. I want to look a little bit at the, what should I call this? I want to look at the reason, but a little bit more of how we're going to get into the upside of the suffering now, how this all works. Maybe the anatomy of suffering. Maybe that's kind of a strange analogy, but that's what comes to my mind right now. By our baptism, my friends, we're members of a royal priesthood. And we are together as one. Because of that, because of your baptism, because of my baptism, we Christians are together as one in the mystical body of Christ. In the mystical body of Christ, we're together. There's a great verse from the first letter of Peter. It's chapter 2 and the verses 9 to 10, two verses together. But you are a chosen generation, a kingly priesthood, a holy nation, a purchased people, that you may declare his virtues, who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who in times past were not a people but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Isn't that beautiful? I love that. I just love that. And this idea of a royal priesthood, this isn't just, it's not a gimmick. It's not a gimmick, not something that, you know, just a label. This is true, a royal priesthood by our baptism. Now, during Mass, the ministerial priest makes an offering. But we, as non-ministerial priests, we offer ourselves. So the priest, the ministerial priest, as a representative of Christ, he sacrifices at the altar for us. Listen closely to the words of the Eucharistic prayer. I'm not going to recite them today, but listen carefully the way and what the priest is saying, because he's talking to God the Father and he is making this offering. He is sacrificing at the altar for us and including us in the sacrifice, in his offering. So now, for us, we are not, unless you are a clergy member listening to this podcast, but the rest of us, the lay people, we are not ministerial priests, all right? We are the non-ministerial priests, but we still offer something. What do we offer? We offer ourselves. We offer our bodies, our hearts. We offer our praise and gratitude and worship. We offer all our joys, all our works, and all our sufferings. We too offer at the altar. And we do this to imitate Christ. to imitate Christ, to take up our cross and accept suffering. To take up our cross and accept suffering like Christ did. Like Christ did. We are offering at the altar everything that we are, we have, we would like, we love, all of this we offer. And we do this together as members of the mystical body of Christ. In the first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 12, verse 26, St. Paul says, if one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. Our sufferings benefit one another. So what that means is this: we help Jesus in his redemption of the world by giving to him our sufferings to build up the body of Christ. Isn't it awesome? We help Jesus in his redemption through our sufferings. You see, the Heavenly Father is moved when our sufferings are offered along with the passion and sacrifice of Jesus. And where do we see that? We see that at Holy Mass. But we can do it all day, every day. Okay? So when we offer our sufferings along with Christ at Mass, we are sanctified, but then put to use. You see, that suffering doesn't just cause misery for us and then nothing more. That's all it was about. No. It's used. They call it redemptive suffering. You see, we can offer our sufferings, and I just want to touch on this a little bit, in informal ways. In informal ways. So yeah, all, you know, the big stuff and even the little stuff, but you know, in a formal way at the altar, but in informal ways throughout the day. So say you drop something heavy on your toe. Well, instead of cursing yourself out or just cursing in general, offer it for someone who cannot walk. You have feet. You can walk. Offer that for someone who can't. What about the long wait in the grocery line? Don't we all hate that? Oh, we hate. I do. I don't like waiting in the grocery line at all. Well, use it. Offer that for those who can't afford to even buy groceries. They don't wait in line not because they found a faster way, but because they don't have any money to buy food. Offer that for them. Or maybe putting up with a nasty coworker. Well, you have a coworker. Be grateful. Offer that for someone who's jobless. Or those of us who endure constant aches of arthritis or chronic headaches. Well, what about offering that for someone who has turned away from God? What about offering that up for that person? Or this is something I do all the time. All the time. Spill my coffee. So say you spill your coffee or your tea. Maybe you're a tea drinker. Well, offer that up for those who don't even have coffee or tea. There are people who can't afford it, who don't have even coffee or tea to enjoy. Offer that up. You see, accept these things in peace. These daily things, accept them in peace, and then ask God to use them for the good of the church. Or ask him to use it for an intention that's near and dear to your heart. Someone or something very special to you. You see, this gives meaning to our suffering. This gives our suffering an upside. The upside of suffering. You see, suffering, when it is accepted and offered with the passion of Jesus, can actually remit the just punishment for one's own sins, or the sins of another. You see, that's redemptive suffering. That's when our suffering is put to really good use. Let me repeat that line. Suffering, when accepted and offered with the passion of Jesus, can remit the just punishment for one's sins and the sins of another. What a treasure we have in our suffering. What a treasure. We shouldn't fear it. We should embrace it because it can do so much good. It can be offered for the physical or the spiritual needs of yourself or someone else who is important to you. By suffering in his human nature during the passion, by which mankind was redeemed, Christ gave to all suffering experienced in the members of his mystical body a redeeming power when offered with his passion. That's really something, isn't it? A redeeming power. Have you ever thought about suffering like that? You know, for as much as I know about this topic, you know, it's not just because of giving a presentation on it in Ireland, but these are things I've known for many, many years. And it's still hard for me when I suffer, and I have a number of different things, chronic things, that make me suffer and can weigh me down, physical and even some emotional and spiritual. And I forget sometimes, and I complain and I grump and I try to get rid of the suffering or avoid it, hide from it. And even I forget that there's an upside. There's an upside to this suffering. It's not for nothing. It's not something God made up to make me miserable. I have a huge gift before me, but it's not only a gift for me, but it's a gift that can be given away. Isn't that incredible? It's a gift that can be given away. You see, by suffering in his human nature, our Lord, you might say, sanctified our suffering, our human suffering. And he gave it value. He gave it a redeeming power when we offer it along with his passion. A redeeming power. There's a great line, a couple of sentences from Saint John Paul II's apostolic letter, Salvifici. I'm going to say it wrong. I know, Salvifici, Fici. I think, Dolores. Salvific suffering is basically what it is. I'm terrible at Latin. Forgive me. In any case, Saint John Paul II's document, in bringing about the redemption through suffering, Christ raised human suffering to the level of the redemption. Thus, each man in his sufferings can also become a sharer in the redemptive suffering of Christ. Isn't that gorgeous? I love it. If you get a chance, I highly encourage, it's on the Vatican site. Look up that document, St. John Paul II. The value, the salvation of suffering, and read through the whole thing. It's gorgeous. It really is. It's quite a piece of work there. Finally, when we're talking about suffering, I'd like to remind you of your royalty. And we started out that way. We started out the podcast a little bit talking about that royal priesthood. But you see, a lot of times, maybe most of the time, we underestimate our value in God's eyes. Do you do that, my friend? Do you under underestimate your value in God's eyes, in God's plan for salvation. You see, that's another upside to suffering, because not the fact that you forget, but that you are valued. You know, it sounds a little contorted, but in reality, God allows your suffering because he values you so highly that he wants to use you for the salvation of others. He wants to offer you a pathway to your own salvation, and he wants to, and he has given meaning to your suffering. You are royalty by your baptism. You are a member of a royal priesthood. And all that you have and are and do, all you work for, all you've accomplished, all you failed at, and all you suffer, this all can be offered and should be offered at the altar with that of our Lord Jesus Christ. You are royalty. You are a member of the mystical body of Christ. Your life has meaning. Your suffering has meaning, but not just meaning, value, great value. Great value. Now, I'd like to just take a couple of minutes to touch on Mary's suffering, our Blessed Mother, because I know that many of us, and perhaps you have a special devotion to her as the Sorrowful Mother, but I sometimes think that we relegate her to kind of the background, you know, the suffering mother, and all that's just really tragic. She had to watch her son be crucified and all of that. We know that story. We know the passion story. But there's really more to it than that. There's way more to it than that. You know, no human being. Now, I'm not talking about Christ, because he was human, but he also was God. No fully human being knows pain and suffering the way Mary does. So during her life, she experienced unmerited shame. And I'm not talking about just at the foot of the cross. I'm saying from the time she was born, okay? Way back, her whole lifetime, she experienced within her lifetime unmerited shame, poverty, fear, uncertainty, sorrow, and then, yes, on the top of that was the spiritual and physical suffering of her Lord Jesus Christ. That is some real suffering, and she understands it. She understands that suffering. You know, she, that unmerited shame, she, because of the timing of the Annunciation, she ended up in human eyes being an unwed mother. She hadn't been fully married at that point. Think of that shame, especially in that time and culture. She looked like she was an adulteress on the surface. Well, women caught in adultery were stoned to death during that time. Unmerited shame, that's suffering. That is some real suffering. Her poverty. Well, first of all, the Jews were occupied by the Romans. They were under occupation and oppression of the Romans. So they were kept poor. There were a few rich Jews, but for the most part, the common people suffered greatly with poverty. Saint Joseph was a poor carpenter. They lived hand to mouth. They lived hand to mouth. We know this because Joseph and Mary brought two turtle doves or young pigeons for the presentation. That was a symbol of their poverty, because that was what the poor people brought. The Holy Family's life was one of hard toil. They had meager food and possessions, and it wasn't always easy for Saint Joseph to find work. So poverty, fear. While the Jews feared the Romans, she feared for her, Mary feared for her own life after the Annunciation. They feared for Jesus' safety and their own safety during the flight to Egypt. And then, of course, our Blessed Mother feared for Jesus' safety during his ministry. And then, of course, during his trial and the passion and the crucifixion. And uncertainty, well, can you imagine how puzzled she was at the Annunciation? How in the world was that going to work, what this angel was asking her? So uncertainty. And during the flight to Egypt, where would they go? How would they live? How were they going to protect Jesus? Uncertainty. Uncertainty and sorrow. The plight of the Jews. They were not having a grand old time under Roman occupation. So the sorrow of that, the death of her parents. We don't ever talk about that, but she had to have experienced that sorrow, the passing away of her parents, the massacre of the holy innocents. Surely she heard about what happened. Think of how much sorrow that caused her. Jesus leaves home for his public ministry. Saint Joseph dies, the death of Saint Joseph, the passion and the crucifixion. This is real sorrow. And then they say that our Blessed Mother, that Mary physically could feel his pain, Jesus's pain during the passion and crucifixion. That at least to some degree, she could actually physically feel his pain. You see, because of all this, Mary understands our suffering. She knows what it's like to suffer. And because of her closeness to Jesus, Mary is able to know us inside and out. She knows you better than you know yourself. She knows your needs and your desires, oftentimes before you even know it yourself. So she knows suffering. But remember even more, she is mother. She's your mother. She's my mother. She is mother to all who are in the mystical body of Christ. You see that royal priesthood. She is the queen mother. Jesus is the king. She's the queen mother. And we are those royal children that belong to her. You see, there it is, that royal priesthood again. That is the upside to suffering. You see, we don't suffer for no reason at all. We suffer for good reason and with value and with our Lord to accompany us and with the ability, the gift of being able to unite our suffering with Christ's suffering. And then add to that that we have this loving Queen Mother who looks after us and helps us to maintain our royal composure even in the face of suffering. Royal composure. That's something I like to think of myself when I'm about to lose it. And I think of my royal priesthood and I think, okay, now I need a little royal composure here and get a grip on myself and grow up and be a big girl and face things like a member of the royal priesthood. So, my friends, many, many things we've talked about. And on this particular topic, I probably could go on for a very good long time, but I won't, because all good things come to an end. I have a trip I have to get ready for, and so you have, I'm sure, things that you need to do as well. I am grateful that you have been here with me today in this podcast. Grateful that you tuned in. Grateful that you share in the royal priesthood with me. And grateful that I hopefully have shown you the upside of suffering. So as we go through our week, let's remember that there truly is an upside to suffering when we unite it with the suffering of Christ. So if you'd like to know more about me, if you'd like to be part of my ministry, If you'd like to subscribe to my newsletter, I've got free printables there that I'm offering. I change them up every so often, so take a look. And if you subscribe, you get a free printable that will bring you updates. It's not a lot. Updates on where I'm speaking, what I'm up to, when I've got a new podcast, so on and so forth, new blog posts, things like that. And often I'll send out information that's just good for people to know regarding the Catholic faith. So if you'd like to subscribe or invite me to speak, please visit margefenelin.com. That's my website, margefenelin.com. I have a wealth of inspiration and joy waiting there for you, so please check it out. You can also connect with me on my website. If you click on the contact selection in the menu at the top, the word contact, it will bring up my email, marge@margefenelin.com, so you could email me, or you can find me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or Pinterest. I'm out there all over the place because I'm trying to reach hearts and bring them to Christ through Mary. And so I'm everywhere, or as much as I possibly can be. In any case, just search Marge Fenelin, you'll find me. I want to hear from you. So please give me feedback. Please, please, please help me bring the world to Christ through Mary by sharing this podcast with people in your life. Please share this podcast. Please, let's spread the word. Join me in bringing the world to Christ through Mary. Well, thanks for listening. Until soon, let's remember that the only thing stopping us from becoming holy are the excuses we make for not pursuing. May God bless you. And may our Mother Mary protect and guide you.
Hello, this is international Catholic singer Anna Nuzzo, inviting you to join me and Father Dan Cambra of the Marian Fathers on a select international tours Divine Mercy pilgrimage to Poland and the Czech Republic. It takes place in September of 2019, and we would love for you to join us. For more information, go to my website, annanuzzo.com. Thank you, and God bless.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.